Influenza is a virus, of course, and must have a host to survive. Fortunately, it is a rare virus compared to those that constantly rain down from the sky. Yes, new research shows billions of viruses hitch rides for sometimes thousands of miles in dust clouds and water droplets whipped up by the wind. Almost all of these skyborne viruses are harmless to humans, and even the small number of flu viruses in the sky don't pose the same dangers as sneezing people and infected doorknobs. Curtis Suttle co-authored a study based on data collected in Spain and published in the International Society for Microbial Ecology Journal. He teaches at the University of British Columbia. Professor, welcome to Living on Earth.
Thanks, Steve. It's a pleasure to meet you.
So the first thing I want to know, Professor, is how concerned should we be about all those viruses traveling so far and swirling up there in the atmosphere?
Honestly, I don't think we really need to be concerned at all. These are bacteria and viruses, which are not pathogens of humans. These are essentially the microbes that exist everywhere on the planet.
What about the flu?
So things like influenza, you know, viruses which infect humans, certainly they're of concern. So if we get the wrong virus, that's absolutely something we need to be concerned with. But the viruses that we see circulating high up in the atmosphere, the things that they're infecting almost exclusively are other microbes, primarily bacteria. And so one of the things that's really important to recognize is though there are bad viruses that will make us sick, is every time you step outside, you're literally inhaling millions of viruses, right, that go into your body. If you take a swim in the ocean, just the amount of water that you take into your mouth would be the same amount of viruses that would be somewhere between the population of Canada and the United States, probably somewhere between 30 and a couple hundred million viruses you would ingest. And those viruses don't make us sick. In fact, they're just part of the natural ecosystem. The vast majority of viruses on this planet, the host organisms that they're infecting are other microbes.
Well, that makes me feel better. By the way, what is a virus exactly?
So viruses are obligate pathogens. They can only replicate by infecting living organisms. They're pretty simple by many standards. They essentially have a protein coat which surrounds some nucleic acids. And when they find a suitable host organism, and they're usually highly specific, so they infect only one type of host, and they will introduce that nucleic acid into the host and they will begin to grow.
So how many viruses are coming out of the sky every day?
Yeah, what's really remarkable is if we go up above the planetary boundary layer, we will typically find close to a billion viruses on average every square yard per day that are settling out of the atmosphere. And so when I say above the planetary boundary layer, we're talking about elevations, say, of 9,000 feet or 3,000 meters or so. So above that layer, so high up in the atmosphere. Even that high up, we're seeing these massive amounts of viruses. And if we come down to the surface, like if you're in a city or in Boston or something like that, you can be sure that there's a lot more viruses that are settling out of the atmosphere than a billion per square yard per day.
Professor Suttle, how is it that viruses can travel so far when they get up into the atmosphere? I mean, your paper talks about them. Maybe they can even circle the planet.
You have these particles, these aerosols that are swept off the surface of the ocean or the surface of land, and in this case in North Africa, many of them make their way up high into the atmosphere. And once they're that high in the atmosphere and they're so small, they essentially can blow around unimpeded for long, long distances. You know, it's even been speculated that because there's so many up there that maybe there's actually organisms that this is their home, right? That they're suspended up there in the above the planetary boundary layer.
So what would they be doing for food?
Well, there's all this dust, for example. So the microbes, that's what they need. They need sort of organic material that they can grow on. And there's lots and lots of particles. So if they were swept high, potentially they could be growing on organic material. And also off the surface of the ocean, there's all these aerosols that are traveling high up into the atmosphere. And so, I mean, nobody's demonstrated this yet, but I mean, it's conceivable that they could be living up there.
What's the role that viruses play to life on Earth and the evolution of life here? If they can travel like this everywhere, what does that mean?
Yeah, so what I always like to think about is that for the first 3.5 billion years that life has been on Earth, it was entirely microbial. And so there really were only bacteria and another microbe called archaea and the viruses which infect them. So viruses were the predators in the system, the only predators in the system. And multicellular life really didn't come on the scene till, you know, a few hundred million years ago. So for almost the entire existence of life on the planet, the whole ecosystem has been microbial. And so viruses and the organisms that they infect are extremely highly co-evolved. And as part of that process, viruses are really, really good at moving genetic information around. And so, in fact, the original field of biotechnology was the result that you could use a virus and you could move genetic information from one organism to another. You know, the original genetic engineering, if you like, was using viruses to actually move genes around among organisms. They do this naturally. And so if we look at our own nucleic acids, our own DNA in our own bodies, a large percentage of it is actually viruses which are still stuck in our genome. For example, the placenta of mammals contains a protein which was donated from viruses. Some of the major components of our nervous system were actually the result of genetic information donated from viruses. So viruses are masters at moving genetic information around. And as a result of that, they've been absolutely crucial to the evolution of all organisms.
Interesting. Now, these viruses get lofted up into the atmosphere. If they can get up so high, could they be getting into space?
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's interesting. We've done work with NASA and the Canadian Space Agency before. And when I've served on these committees for years and years and years, I've said, if we want to look for life on other planets, we should probably be looking for viruses, because theory tells us that if we have living organisms, we'll always have these kind of parasites and pathogens that replicate on them. They're by far the most abundant biological entities on Earth and presumably elsewhere as well. So you typically would find about 10 times as many viruses as the organisms that they infect. And because they are so small and they aerosolize so high up in the atmosphere, and we have technologies where we can really detect a single virus particle. And so I've often argued that if we're looking for life on other planets, what we should be doing is going into the atmosphere and seeing if we can detect anything that looks like a virus, because they're likely going to be there in the highest abundance and would be absolutely indicative of life.
Curtis Suttle is a virologist and teaches at the University of British Columbia. Thanks so much, Professor, for taking the time.
Thanks. It's been absolutely my pleasure.